The reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, starting from verse 18b. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is inspired by your Holy Spirit. And we pray now that that same Holy Spirit would open our hearts and our minds to understand and believe your word and to love Jesus, of whom it speaks. Amen. What's the point of prayer? Ever asked that question? I've been reading the autobiography of Roy Castle. He was a singer, dancer, jazz trumpeter. He presented Record Breakers for many years on BBC One. He was diagnosed with lung cancer, which he contracted from passive smoking from all the nightclubs he used to play in. Nobody was more prayed for than Roy Castle. He was a Christian. His pastor was a well-known minister called Jim Graham. There were Christians praying for Roy Castle all around the country. And he died. What's the point of prayer? Now, there are lots of answers to that question. We could say prayer is a relationship with God. We have a relationship with God, so we need to talk to him. It would be terrible if we never spoke to our wife or husband, if we never spoke to our children, if we never spoke to our friends. You can't have a relationship if you don't speak to people. We might say we pray because we are dependent on God. If you try and live for Christ, you try and live for Christ in work, you try and talk about Jesus, you will know what it means to be dependent. Your mouth will go dry, and when you get an opportunity to speak, your heart will beat a little faster, and you will send up a short prayer. Help, Lord, now. This is what it means to be dependent on God in prayer. God wants us to be dependent. He wants us to be dependent so that the glory goes to him. If I am self-reliant, the glory goes to me. Gosh, I did rather well there. God doesn't want that. God wants us to say, didn't God do well there? Thank you, Father, for what you did. So prayer is an expression of God reliance. We might say we pray because we are commanded to. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. Be joyful always. pray continually. It's a command. Pray. Pray joyfully. Pray continually. So there are lots of reasons why we should pray. Lots of reasons why prayer is a good thing. Prayer is not a guarantee we will get our own way. Roycastle died at the height of his powers when he was one of the most high-profile Christians. He had a platform for sharing the gospel which virtually nobody else had. And God took him. It's very hard to understand that. God doesn't always say yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. Certainly, good has come of Roycastle's death. His wife Fiona has been released into a wonderful ministry in her own right, and we've got her coming to be interviewed as part of our Passion for Life mission. Perhaps that begins to explain why God allowed Roy to die. But only in eternity will we understand God's decisions. For now, the world looks a mess. Prayer is not getting our own way. Prayer is submitting to God's way, God's will. Prayer is about trusting God. I'm sure you can think of other reasons to pray. But here in Ephesians 6, we should pray, and it's just one sentence on your sheets. We should pray because prayer is a powerful weapon. Prayer is a powerful weapon in spiritual warfare. Now, Paul wants to say to the readers of his letter, to Christians like us, a small minority, maybe suffering for the gospel, maybe tempted to give up. Paul wants to say to them, I should say Paul is the apostle, the Christian leader who writes this letter. Paul wants to say, God is a powerful God. So look at chapter 1, verse 19. Paul prays, 1:19, that we may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The same power which raised Christ from the dead is available to you in your situation. If only we will pray. That just needs to sink in. As we face difficult circumstances, the same power which raised Christ from the dead is available to us. Now, this doesn't mean getting our own way. It means God getting his way. God knows best. God will do what is right. We will see this in eternity. But it means we cannot lose. God's power will be at work when we pray. It most demonstrated God's power for Roycastle to die rather than to live. But God's power was at work. I wonder how many were converted through the way Roycastle publicly faced his death. I took a funeral for a man called Philip Rees. He died quite young. It was very distressing. But in Philip's funeral, another man was converted. His name was Paul. Paul was only 49. He was fit and healthy. But 3 months later, he was dead. God used Philip's funeral to save Paul. and then Paul died. Philip was a schoolteacher. There were many school children at the funeral. Who knows how God will have used that experience? The power of God is at work, the same power which raised Christ from the dead. This gives life meaning and purpose. There was purpose in Roy Castle's death. There was purpose in Philip Reese's death. And so we could go on. God is working his purpose out. And he calls us to pray. Look at verse 18, back in chapter 6 now. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, all Christian prayer is prayer in the Spirit. If you are a Christian, you are Spirit-filled. You are born again, born of the Spirit, regenerate, spiritually alive. The only way I can pray is in the Spirit. Now, I know some of you are going to answer back afterwards that it is possible to be in sin and to pray in the flesh. Well, it is possible to spoil our friendship with God with sin. Sin spoils things. In that sense, we can be fleshly, sinful in our approach to God. But there are not two levels of Christian prayer. Ordinary mortals' prayer and super Christians' prayer. If you are born of the Spirit, the only way you can pray is in the Spirit. That's how it's done. So do it. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Not just on special occasions. Not just on Sundays. Not just at home group. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. With all kinds of prayer. All kinds of prayers. That's interesting. All kinds of prayers. Long prayers, short prayers. Happy prayers, sad prayers. Sleepy prayers, impassioned prayers. Liturgical prayers, set prayers. Extemporary prayers, prayers you make up on the spot. All kinds of prayers. And requests. All kinds of requests. You can ask God for big things. A building for Christchurch. Hundreds of thousands of pounds or possibly a lot more. We can ask for that. We can certainly ask for the things we need. Basic things. Food, clothing. There was a minister on a very, very small wage. And they didn't have anything like enough money. And they prayed. And they prayed. Until eventually, they were so desperate, the minister decided to resign. He had to get a better paid job. They didn't have any food one week. And they didn't have any shoes for their children. The day the minister decided to resign and look for a better job, an American businessman drove past the church building. And he said to the minister, "What time is your service on Sunday?" And he came to the Sunday evening service. At the end of the service, he said to the minister, "Can I have the key to your trunk, the boot of your car?" And the American filled the boot with food. He knew nothing of the situation, but he filled the boot with food. And from that day on, the American and his wife bought all the minister's food and clothes and shoes for his children. And then, some years later, the minister sensed God calling him to a new church. So he said to the American, "We'll be leaving on April the 5th. "Well, that's interesting," said the American, "because we're leaving on April the 4th. God had sent the American to meet the minister's needs for exactly the right length of time. That is our God. He answers prayer. That is why we can bring to him all kinds of prayers and requests. We can obviously pray for the work of the gospel. Pray for your non-Christian friends. Pray that God will be at work in them. Try this. Every day, pray for an opportunity to speak about Jesus. Just try it. And then be on the lookout. Pray for the church. We will not grow unless we pray. That's obvious, isn't it? We will not be growing as a church unless we as a church are praying for the church. Pray for our missionaries. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Remember the context. We are at war, verse 12. We are in a spiritual war against Satan and his demons. God's people are under attack. Satan wants to stop people becoming Christians and to stop Christians going on as Christians. He wants us to stop praying. He wants us to stop reading our Bibles. He wants us to stop obeying God. He does everything he can to tempt us to sin. And what stands between us and the work of Satan? Your prayers and my prayers and the prayers of Jesus, the sovereignty of God. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, I know I just said God accepts sleepy prayers. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus' disciples fell asleep, didn't they? They were meant to be praying. That was bad. But some of us pray late in the evening. We're very tired. That's life. God understands that. He still accepts our prayers, even though we're very tired. The point that's being made here is that some Christians are spiritually falling asleep. They are lulled by the evil one into thinking there is no war. Everything's fine. They're comfortable. They're at home in the sinful world. They're unconcerned that brothers and sisters, and maybe they themselves, are falling into sin. Now wake up. Be alert to the work of the devil. And always keep on praying for all the saints. How many Christians can you think of who've stopped coming to church, or worse, have really fallen into sin? Can you think of any now? Did you pray for them? Did I pray for them? Did they fall into sin? Partly because we didn't pray for them. The leaders of this church pray for the members. But that doesn't let everybody else off the hook. Pray for your home group. Pray for your circle of Christian friends. Make a list. Ever thought of doing this? Make a list. Pray for a few of them every day. We pray for a page of the church contact list. every day. You could do something similar. Keep on praying for all the saints. That's God's people, not special people. We're all saints, all of God's people. And verse 19, pray also for me. Now, we don't need to pray for Paul now. He's dead. He's alive in heaven, but his body is dead. His battle is over. We don't need to pray for the dead. The dead are God's responsibility. We need to pray for the living. We need to pray for Christian leaders. We, as your leadership, need your prayers. We are sinful, fallen people. We are weak. We make mistakes. It would be interesting to know if those who criticize Christian leaders pray for those leaders. It would be interesting to know that. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. What a prayer. Isn't Paul honest? He doesn't have the right words to say. He needs words to be given to him. We can all say that, can't we? Lord, I need the right words. Let's pray that for one another, for the right words, so that we will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, fearlessly doesn't mean rudely. It doesn't mean we should be pushy. Context is everything. If you're taking part in a debate at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park, you can afford to be pretty blunt and appropriately aggressive, because that's the culture of Speaker's Corner. If you're taking part in a debate with an imam, like the debate which was held at Letchworth Garden City Church, it becomes more important to be clear, to be well argued, and to be very, very courteous. There needs to be no offence except the gospel. If you're taking assembly in a school, you're there to educate. So you give the information that the children need to understand the gospel, but you're very gentle, not pushy. And so we could go on. Context makes a big difference. In church, we can be very direct. This is our turf. If you're visiting a non-Christian home, you can't start shouting at them, as I might occasionally shout from the pulpit. In a non-Christian's home, you're chatting the gospel. Context is everything. But whatever the context, we need to share the gospel fearlessly. We must not be afraid to talk about Jesus. I mean, it's not as if we live in Iran, where we could be murdered or executed for our faith. Most people are going to be reasonably nice to us. The Apostle Paul here is facing death. That's why he has to be fearless to the end. We're not in that position. We live in North Harts, for goodness sake. This is one of the most pleasant places to do evangelism in the country. But do pray that we will fearlessly make known the gospel. Verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in chains. Well, we know nothing of this, do we? Does anyone read Evangelicals Now? Evangelicals Now is a newspaper, and amongst other things, it covers the persecution of Christians around the world. These are some of the stories from this month. These are stories you will never hear on the BBC. Iran, repent or else. An evangelical pastor has been jailed for his Christian activities. He may face execution. Pakistan, throat cut. Shouting that he was killing an infidel, a Muslim in Karachi on September the 14th, slit a Christian's throat as police and others looked on. Morocco, swift judgment. A court sentenced Mohamed El Baladi to 30 months in prison on September the 3rd, just a week after his arrest and before police allowed him to obtain legal representation. And so we could go on. The paper is full of accounts of the persecution of believers. Now Paul says he is an ambassador in chains. In other words, when Christ's representatives are ill-treated just for being Christians, this is an affront to the king. The king's ambassador is in chains. There is great dignity in Christian suffering. But we need to pray. Because we all suffer from fear, don't we? So how is your prayer life? I think we all understand now, prayer is not about getting our own way. Prayer is submitting to God. It's bringing the problem to God, sharing our needs, asking him for what we want, but ultimately saying, God, you're the boss. What did Jesus say? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But prayer is a powerful weapon. Sometimes God answers our prayer exactly as we ask. Sometimes God does more than we ask or imagine. We are in a spiritual battle. And as we pray, Satan is pushed back. Satan is frustrated. And the gospel goes forward. The gospel is shared fearlessly. Why not start a daily prayer time? Why not start with 10 minutes? Could you manage that? Get up 10 minutes earlier. Make a list of things to pray for and work through the list. Just short prayers. Just simple prayers. We can help you to do this. If anybody wants help with that, just have a word with one of us. Why not come to the prayer meeting tomorrow night? Wouldn't that be a good idea? James chapter 4 verse 3 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Why have we not seen revival in Baldock? James says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Let's pray. Father, we all confess our sin and our failure in this area. We're just like Jesus' disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, who fell asleep when they were meant to be praying. Lord, sometimes we fail to get up in good time to pray. Sometimes we just lose concentration, get distracted. very often, everything else seems more important than praying. So, Lord, have mercy on us, we pray. Forgive us our sins. Thank you that Jesus died for our forgiveness. Lord, please sweep across us with your Holy Spirit so that we may want to pray and have the power to pray. Bless our prayer meetings, Lord. Please would they be well attended. Please would they be passionate. Please would there be a concern for the lost, a concern for Baldock, a concern for North Hearts. Thank you for your love for us, your great goodness to us. And so we commit ourselves to you now, Father, and pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.